This is episode 9 of Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Nick Drake, the pastor of Richland Baptist Church in Kingdom City, Missouri. Today's question is, what does fear the Lord mean? Ironically, or not ironically, I suppose, maybe providentially, right now I'm preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes on Sunday morning, and the end of that book, towards the very end, chapter 12, verse 13, tells us, when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is, fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity. Throughout Ecclesiastes, if you're with us on Sunday mornings, or if you listen to the messages on our website, myrichland.org, or through our MyRichland mobile app, you've heard us talk about the fact that we, in everything, is futile apart from the Lord, just the futility of life apart from Jesus Christ. And so the call for every single one of us, no exceptions to this, the call for every single one of us is to fear God and to keep his commands. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. As we recognize the power, the might, the holiness of God, we ought to fear him. And we ought to be driven to his word, which means we want to please him. We want to obey him. And that's what happens when we fear him and we're driven to his word. So thus, what happens when we're driven to the word of God, when we fear God and thus want to know what his word says, we get the beginning of knowledge, including realizing how much God loves us and what he did to prove his love for us, which is what? Of course, sending his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins. So it's interesting this question was asked because I've thought about this really for a long time. It's been on my mind, and I've kind of wrestled with this a little bit. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear God? Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Only fools despise instruction and discipline. Well, I kind of have a testimony that goes with it, or I shouldn't say kind of, I do. Proverbs 1:7 was really used instrumentally by God in my life when I was in college because I started to fear God. I started to fear his judgment, to fear his wrath, to fear hell, and that drove me to search for truth in his word, and it was at that point that I started to understand what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ and what I needed to do in repenting of my sins and trusting fully in Jesus to save me from my sins and to make me right with God. So God used his fear, if you will, of him to draw me to his word and thus draw me to himself. So what does that mean then? What does fear God or what does fear the Lord mean when the Bible mentions it? So, you know, it's interesting. I did a little research and just from what I could find, fear God, the phrase fear God is mentioned 15 times in the Bible. Fear the Lord is mentioned 35 times. Fear of God, so fear is a noun, the fear of God is mentioned 7 times in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is mentioned 21 times in the Bible. And then fear him when it's referring to God. Fear him is mentioned another 20 times in the Bible. So that's 98 times total throughout Scripture, at least. And there might be more. This is what I could find. At least there are 98 times where we're fearing God is discussed in the Scriptures. And of course, many of those times are commands and callings for us to fear God. So the answer is different, though, I believe, to a degree at least, for the unbeliever and for the believer, for those who don't follow the Lord and for those who do follow the Lord. So you think about what does it mean to fear God, to fear the Lord for an unbeliever, for somebody who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord. You know, if you're an unbeliever and you see the fear of the Lord in the Bible, you're to fear his judgment. You're to fear his wrath. You're to fear, really, ultimately, eternal death, the wrath of God for all of eternity because of sin. And that's what I was referring to earlier when I was talking about Proverbs 1:7 and my testimony, how God used that fear of his wrath, the fear of his eternal judgment, and he used that to draw me to himself. And there was a healthy fear there. But in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body, and after that can do nothing more. But I will show you the one to fear. Fear him who has authority to throw people into hell after death. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear. There's a strong warning there to unbelievers to fear God, fear his wrath, fear hell as a result of our sin and disobedience to his word. So don't fear those who have no power over your eternal destiny. Fear the one who controls your eternal destiny. In the book of Hebrews, there are multiple warnings to the Jews who are seeking Christ but haven't yet fully surrendered to him, that they not return to Judaism and deny the gospel. So we see that throughout the book of Hebrews. We see six warning passages throughout the book. But if we get to chapter 10, one of the last warning passages in Hebrews, we see the writer of Hebrews says, "If anyone disregards Moses' law, he dies without mercy based on the testimony of two or three witnesses." So he's just making the point that, hey, if you were a Jew and you disobeyed Moses' law and people knew about it, you would die, right? That was the punishment in the Old Testament. How much more, he says in verse 29, how much worse the punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who has said, "Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people." And here it is, verse 31. "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So those who have yet to believe and surrender to Jesus Christ ought to rightly fear falling into the hands of the living God. So that's the fear of God for the unbeliever. But let's talk about a little bit for the believer, because some will say, well, once we have believed, once we've trusted in Christ, we don't need to fear God, right? But I say, no, of course we do. The Bible talks about that a lot. It starts with a fear of God's judgment and wrath, and that's really the beginning of our fear, right? We fear his wrath, we fear his judgment. But in Christ, we are no longer scared of the eternal wrath of God. We aren't, because now we are in Christ. So Romans 8, 1 and 2 assures us of this. "Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." So we don't fear God like we did before having a relationship with Christ. For believers, the fear of the Lord is a fear of reverence and awe before the awesome, holy God that we've come to know and love. I love what Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says about this. "Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken," so he's talking to believers, "let us hold on to grace. By it we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Think about that. You fear a consuming fire, right? Yeah, of course you do. Why? Why do you fear a consuming fire? Because you know of its power to destroy you, and you aren't afraid because you obey its command to not mess with it. So I fear a consuming fire. I fear what it can do to me, but I'm not scared. I'm not afraid, because I know if I just know the boundaries, if I know what I'm supposed to do, then I don't see a consuming fire and get really scared, because it's not going to hurt me, because I know what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. Well, Proverbs 8:13 says this, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate arrogant pride, evil conduct, and perverse speech." Now, isn't that a pretty good definition of what it means to fear the Lord? To hate evil, to hate arrogant pride, evil conduct, and perverse speech. Here are some other good biblical definitions of what it means to fear the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:12, "What does the Lord your God ask of you except to fear the Lord your God by walking in all his ways, to love him and to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" Then a little bit later in that chapter, verses 20 and 21, Deuteronomy 10, "You are to fear the Lord your God and worship him. Remain faithful to him and take oaths in his name. He is your praise and he is your God who has done for you these great and awesome works your eyes have seen." Fearing the Lord is much more than respect. It is respecting, so don't get me wrong, that is an aspect of it, but it's not just respecting, it's also obeying, it's submitting, it's worshiping, it's revering God. Believers want to do those things because their fear has led to wisdom, which has led to love. Romans 14:12 and Hebrews 4:13 both tell us that we will all, including believers, we will all give an account to the Lord for our actions here on earth. Now, while we as followers of Jesus are not afraid of God's eternal wrath. Right? We're not afraid of his wrath. We still are to fear his discipline and his consequences for our sin. So there's an important call there, an important distinction between a believer and an unbeliever. So I want to leave you with this. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you fear God by seeking to love him and obey him and worship him and honor him? Or do you simply fear his wrath? Or maybe it's that you fear getting caught in doing something you shouldn't be doing. You fear the consequences rather than fearing the mighty God who has created you first and foremost to live for and to glorify him. So if you need to make a decision, if you need to get to that point where you want to have a right relationship with God so that you're no longer fearing his wrath or just simply fearing the consequences of your sin, but rather you're fearing him in reverence and awe and wanting to worship and obey him, I hope you'll contact us. Click the Contact Us tab, and I would love to speak with you more about that. But thanks for listening to this episode of Ask the Pastor.